Why don't you just say your name and tell me your name?
Lewis Barber.
And, I don't know, tell me when you first started working for the railroad. I'm just testing the level on this.
1919. October 17, 1919.
And what year were you born in?
1898. October 28th.
Where were you born? You born here in...
Stokes County.
Where?
In Stokes County.
Is that... Danbury. Is that north of here?
Well, it's just above Winston.
Excuse me?
Stokes County, where I was born there, but a little town named Pinnacle, right at the foot of the mountains.
Hmm. When did you move to Spencer here?
I came here after World War I, 1918.
Did you move here after you started working for the railroad?
Well, I built this house 31 years ago. And I lived down there, 18, so the first one ever built over here, yeah, I was working for the railroad.
What did your parents do?
Oh, well, my father was a carpenter, and a bricklayer.
How did you happen to want to be a railroad man?
I don't know, I just drifted over here after World War I and got a job.
What was your first job?
First job I had was a fireman on the railroad.
Hmm.
1919.
Well, I was just spent the morning with a fireman.
Who was that?
Thomas Frederick Henry, T. Fred Henry.
Yeah, big old man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he comes a little bit before I did. Yeah, I know him. He lived in Salisbury.
That's right.
Fred Henry, yeah, big old boy. I worked with his brother. They all did, but him, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I worked with his brother.
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah, big old guy, yeah. I know him well. Fred Henry.
So you started off working as a fireman?
Yeah.
And what year was that?
1919.
That's right.
November 17th.
How did you happen to get that job?
Well, I had an uncle who was a road foreman, and he gave me a job. He lives here, the one I knew.
So you knew somebody on the inside.
Yeah, it's hard to get a job then if you didn't know somebody.
How long did you work as a fireman?
Well, I don't know. A slow promotion then might have been 20 years or more before I promoted. I was really officially promoted around 1940 when we did examination. But I'd been running engines before that, before I was ever promoted, you know, a long time. Before they ever got a class up. All the fellows that I went to class with, they all did but one. Stood examination the time I did.
You went to classes to become an engineer?
Oh, yes.
What were the classes like?
Well, you had a book the first, second, and third year, the form to fill out to see as you learned. All about the engine. You had to know everything about the engine from the rail to the top of the stack, how it was built, what it was built out of, and all about it, you know.
Did you have to study it a lot?
Oh, yeah. And she helped me a whole lot.
You helped him study?
Yeah. Yeah, sure was.
Do you know it all also?
It's hard to remember now. These guys, they don't have to do nothing. They go over and get on the engine and go to work. They go to Atlanta. About 6 weeks training, now they go right to work. But then you had to know something about an engine to be an engineer.
You start working on steam engines?
Yeah, oh yeah. That's all they had. Didn't get no diesel, so we held up around 1930-something. We didn't have any diesel yet.
What sort of things did you do as a fireman?
You
shoveled coal and...
Keep the engine hot and keep the engine clean, wait on the engineer.
What sort of hours did you keep?
Well, 8 hours, different shifts, third trick and a second trick, and different ones, what did they want you on? It's 7 to 3 and 3 to 11, 11 to 7.
So you might be on any one of those shifts any different week or day?
Well, that's why when you say extra, you work wherever you want to. Might go on the road one day down to Norwood, somewhere else one day, you just wasn't a certain way where you don't be, you know, wherever they need you. If they owned you to Winston, they'd send you to Winston. Danville.
How did you like that?
Well, I liked it fine. Wasn't any money much in it. Didn't make the $3.28 a day for 8 hours, burning about 12 tons of coal.
Hmm. Is that when you first started out? Well, that's what you were making?
Yeah. Didn't make much when I quit. I've been retired 16 years. We only made $23.50 for 8 hours then. Now they get $84 for 8 hours. In 16 years, they get $80-some. That's gone up that much in 16 years I've been off.
That's $80 for 8 hours isn't too bad.
Well, $84. Well, then if they work on time and a half, they get time and a half of that, which is about $135. Mm-hmm. So if you work a second trick this afternoon, and they called you back in the morning on the first shift, you just had 8 hours rest, they'd have to pay you time and a half for that 8 hours, which
really
would be about $135. Then you might work that 8 hours or work overtime on that and maybe make $200 before you ever get back home. Mm-hmm. Now, if you work 3 or 4 hours overtime, you see, after you went back on time and a half, you'd make that much money. I made much as $60-$65 a day several times before I quit, when I was making $21 a day of standard pay. $21.53, wasn't it, Lottie?
I don't remember.
Something like that. When I quit 16 years ago, they took $7 and a half a day out of it, and I got the rest. But now they take about $35-$40 a day out of your wages. But you can afford to do it when you're making that less.
That's true. Well, they take it out for what, pension and
Social Security. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What would a normal day be like?
Well, just
when you first started out.
Well, handling cars. We used to switch on, classify all the cars here in the yard. You see, just 8 hours hard work. So I know there'd be five men on the crew, there'd be three on the ground, two on the engine.
Mm-hmm.
Now they just work two men most of the time. See, they got a hump yard, they just pull the whole trains back, and they got an engineer on there, and one man pull the pins, and somebody in the tower puts the retarders on them over here at the yard and goes in certain tracks to classify them, you see.
So you were doing that also?
Yeah, we did that here, but it's all did by handwork and labor. Over there, it's done by machinery, where two men do the work for five, you see.
Would that be part of a fireman's job?
No, they didn't do that. We just had to do the fireman's job to keep the engine hot and look out for his side of the train, the old engine, when he was firing. Well, it's a different setup now at this new yard, you see. That's called a hump yard. They just pull the whole train back and drop the cars in each track they go on, High Point, Greensburg, all go on a certain track. And as two men does what five men
do. Got all those things figured out with computers and everything else.
Yeah, that's right. You have a walkie-talkie on the engine. Now, we had them here before, though. They could call you and tell you what to do, but there wasn't any retarders on the tracks to stop the cars like there is over here, you see.
Mm-hmm.
We're two men doing the work of five men now.
Did you stay with a particular engineer and engine when you were
fighting? Well, I had different ones every day, off and on.
They
went and come, you see, in a hurry. They're like different ones just every day or two.
Now, I heard that a lot of times the engineers would fix up their trains real special.
Well, the engine, you see, then the company would put your name on one side and the fireman's on the other, you know, have your name under your side of your window. You see, the men all, they thought they owned the engines then, but now the company bought them all back for whatever. They got too much, you see. They wouldn't go out unless they had their engine. They couldn't even get a train over the road. Great didn't tell you that unless they had a certain engine to run with.
Hmm.
If there ain't one to shop or repair, why, they wouldn't go out. They'd say, mark me off my engine and shop. They couldn't make it with another engine. But just like you driving your car and then getting somebody else's little scrap and going down the road, you know.
Did you feel the same way about the engine?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You see, some engineers get over the road with a good train rolling half the time, and others work wide open with the throttle up and wasn't getting nowhere.
Hmm.
Just like anything else, they hired a lot of people who wasn't engineers. They just got the money, and that's all. They didn't know a bit more when they quit, and they did, and they went to work.
Really?
That's right. It's just like you hire for anything. That's what hurt the union, you see. there's some people in there smart and going to do the work, and these other bums ain't going to do it, and these guys working got to pay for them, pay for all their time in the restroom, and that's what's costing you $100 a day for the deadbeats.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
right, that's right. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of honest people, yeah, but there's a lot of bums, you see, they'll, yeah. and they fall back on you if they go to the restroom and stay too long or something. Why, the foreman get after them, why, they said they wasn't nice to me, they did this, they did that, you know. Well, the man working hard has got to pay for all that. That's mm-hmm. just what's happened to the reunions and things now.
Well, getting back to the railroad now.
Yeah.
Let's see, where were we?
You was asking me about what we did, what 8 hours.
What did you do during your 8 hours? Well, tell me about your job.
Well, I was keeping the engine hot. Keep you busy, firing the engine, shoveling coal.
What was that like? What would you do?
You get over a truckload of coal and have to throw it in there and burn it all, you see.
Mm-hmm.
10, 11 tons a day. It took that much to run an engine 8 hours, a small engine.
By the end of the day, would you be all tired out?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you'd be tired, you couldn't hardly get home.
Hmm.
Many a time.
About how long would it take during a day before you started to get tired?
Well,
you start feeling the job.
Sometimes you're tired, you went to work. You know how that is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We made it all right. Except once or twice, a monkey liked to gut me.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do for lunch?
We have carried lunch with you.
You have to...
That's why.
You'd have to be eating while you were working?
Well, that's right. A lot of times, yeah. They'd have 20 minutes sometimes. Sometimes you'd have a place to stop and get a hot lunch. Sometimes mm-hmm. you wouldn't. It wasn't any lighting system or nothing. It was just dark, you know, here when I came here. But now all the yards are all lit up, you know. A new yard. Very dangerous. Got killed every day or two. And the legs cut off and the arms cut
really?
Off. Yes, sir. Every few days, they'd get somebody get the arm or leg cut off. It was dark. You couldn't see. Then, before they left, they had it all lit up, you see, here pretty good. Yeah. They just moved over on about a year ago
mm-hmm.
to Linwood. It's always been here. I haven't even been up there, but that's where I did a lot of hard work.
Did you actually do work in the yards?
Yeah, it's a big yard. You handle anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000 cars a day. Classifying. A lot of times during the war, a lot of it would be ammunition, explosive too. Very dangerous.
They ever have any blow up here?
No, never. Nothing except the magazine blowed up here one time and killed her uncle. About 1905. That's before I came here. But they had a place where they kept the dynamite and stuff when they're transferring from one train to another. A building, and some way or another it ignited and blowed up in 1905.
Powder house
and killed a bunch of people.
I was 7 years old, I guess.
Yeah.
About 1907.
Well, I thought about five. I don't remember. Of course, I wasn't here. I didn't come in 1918.
Yeah, my uncle was killed. That was awful.
That's before I come here. It was very, well, just a big old black, dirty town when I came here. The biggest railroad center between here and New York and mm-hmm. Atlanta, it was. Sometimes it'd be as many as 30 or 40 engines sitting there with the black smoke rolling, you see, getting ready or working on them, and they'd all be sitting there with the black smoke going.
That's right, it was all steam engines.
Yeah, and sometimes it'd come this way, but very seldom. Most of the time it went from the west this way, and that's where we moved over in the woods. They hardly ever got any air blowing right this way, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did, the trees had protected. If you didn't hang clothes out over there and you walked, it'd be just as black when you got them in as it could be then.
Really?
Yes, sir. And a lot of times, this main street, Old 29, that's the highway up there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't see. You just almost have to stop walking for the black smoke sometimes be rolling right down on the streets. Yeah, there'd be anywhere from 15 to 20 or 25 engines over there sitting there with the black smoke rolling out of them.
Doesn't sound good.
Yeah, well, it's just a black, dirty town. What wasn't red mud was black.
Uh-huh.
But all these old houses, if you grew up there, it'd be that much cinders in top in the attic yet. Now, but it just sifted across where it burnt mm-hmm. coal and everything, you see.
What was it like working in one of those engines?
Well,
was that a real dirty job, too?
Yeah, sure it was. Sure it was a dirty job. You would wear a pair of overalls, you're greasing black. I took the hose on the engine and scalded it down the deck and all around here. I wet the coal, but still you get dirty. It's a real dirty job, like working in a coal mine almost. All that black dirt getting your head and your throat.
That, and it make you cough and stuff too?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, no easy job. Didn't even have no way to keep warm on except leave the door for a long time, you know. Then they finally got a curtain on the back you could fasten, the side curtains and all. Very, very cool.
Explosion on October the 2nd, 1908.
Wasn't that late. She got a book of
this is a gobble book.
A gobble book of the, her generation of her people, you know.
Yeah, the
powder house. That's right.
He was a fireman. Yeah, he was a fireman over there, but by trade he was a in the carpenter shop.
See, they had a real machine and hose and everything on it, and they'd always be about 10 or 15 of whoever was on that farm. When anything happened, they'd have to take this reel and pull it by hand, you see, and run a whole bunch of men to a fire. And that's what it used to be in all little small towns, you know. They had all no firemen to pull it by hand. Well, that's what it was, yeah. The company had their own fire department. They blundered their practice every few days, you see. Got a little extra money.
And he got killed?
What, well, explosion, yeah.
The explosion killed him?
That's right. Yeah. There were, I don't know how many people got killed.
Oh, there was a crowd.
Several of them. Several of them was hurt bad, and there was crippled after I come here, you know, still working. So.
Right. Mr. Stafford, he was just blown to pieces, too.
I don't remember that. That was before
I
came here.
I remember. I was
here.
Only 7 years old.
1980, see that?
And
you come here in
1960. That
18, about 8 years before I ever came here.
Mm-hmm. I remember. He came back three times, and he hadn't been gone any time. We heard this awful noise, and I lived on 3rd Street now.
Right back where we're now.
And almost to the house, there was debris.
Really?
Yeah, she was born right, I mean, lived right down over there across on 3rd Street, but she was born right back over here in the field, close to this church, where she was born. I was born in Slope County. So she didn't get far away from home.
All of my uncles worked at
the shop. Yeah, just about all of
them. I said, did you always want to be an engineer once you started working?
Well, yeah, sure. Everybody wants to be a top man on that. And of course, you do all dirty work. Well, it's all hard. It's harder really than being an engineer because you've got as much responsibility, you see, of the whole engine and the crew, too, and what's in front of you and all.
What kind of clothes would you wear at work?
Overhauls. Overhauls.
Bib overhauls.
And a jacket. If it's cold, well, you'd have one pair of pants under them and a sweater under that overhaul jacket, something like that. If it's real cold.
You'd shovel about 12 tons of coal a day?
Yeah, that's right. $3.48.
Must have gotten pretty good muscles.
Well, I've been pretty stout. I mean, I'm born 1898. I'm still here, but I can't see. That's my trouble. I have no center vision in my right eye, not too much in the other. No cataract, no glaucoma, or nothing, but just no circulation in the sight, you see. I can see how to get around here and work. I just vacuum the house and mow the yard. I'm gonna be too good a job, but I can't see to read the paper or nothing. You see, it's just, I just have no vision that way. I can see up and down, you're close to me, but I can't see that way.
When did you retire from the railroad?
1963, I reckon, something like that.
You were an engineer when you retired?
Yeah.
Do you remember your first run as an engineer?
No, because I run off and on a long time before they ever was promoted, you know. Of course, after you go to firing, you got to go to running, and maybe the old engineer would want you to run, and a lot of times in fire too, you know, then, you know.
Really?
That's right, make you do the work.
What would he be doing?
Sometimes be standing off talking to somebody if he's a place switching some cars or something, you know, at a little place or going to get something to drink or something. And the engine stay hot, say 45 minutes, you know, pretty good with nobody bothering it, enough to do ordinary work. around. Yeah, I think it's the hardest work I've ever done on the railroad, down the Yadkin Railroad. You see, this Southern used to run here to Norwood. You don't know where that is, do you?
No.
44 miles from here. They used to go down there and haul peaches. That used to be in the center of the peach orchard, and they'd haul, bring the cars, take the empty down, bring the cars back here, and re-ice them. This is where we re-ice them for New York, right? Mm-hmm. Spencer. And send the peaches to New York, but then the trucks got it all, and they're not even hauling it all anymore. You see, that's a thing of the past. They got refrigerator cars now. They used to haul the cars and send them down there.
Is there a big ice plant here also?
Yeah, it was. It's done tore down too. Yeah, there was a big place, and place where you could re-ice about 50 cars at a time on a platform. You see, men worked there all summer re-icing the cars. They'd re-ice them and send them down there 40 cars at a time. And then when they come back here, they'd re-ice them again. It's good for that New York, you see, all perishable stuff, peachy.
Did you make runs to New York while you were on there?
No.
What was the longest kind of run you'd make?
Well, from here to Yadkin, down in there, I mean to Norwood. See, I wasn't on the road, I was a yard man. I used to haul all the coal to Dukeville down here, down to this big power plant around here. No, I was a yard man, but I worked on the road, so. Fred Henry was a road man, that big fellow you're talking to.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a passenger train man. I was hired on the yard, you see, and I worked mostly on the yard, but I worked some on the road, too.
So your job in the yard was switching? And
yeah, I was classifying cars. Well, Thomas Switcher, he'd work all those factories over there and back in the day, Yadkin, Lexington, all those places, all day, leave here with the cars to go over there, all day work. So. A lot of work.
Were you just extra careful, and is that how you didn't get hurt?
I was always on the job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got hurt one time.
Yeah, I got hurt a couple times. Mm-hmm. I did a couple of wrecks, but you're lucky to be out there and not get killed then.
And you turned
over. Yeah, I had one turn over with me one time, got hurt. I jumped off, hurt me.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? Do you remember?
Well, we was coming out of the yard down a long hill with a coal train, and the train jumped the track. And of course, the first thing it done was tore the brake rigging out from under the engine when it hit the rail. And of course, the train just kept on going.
Mm-hmm.
And it come on down to the yard office, and there's a place there in one track where they used to keep the cabs, you know, where they kept to look one out on the train. And it turned over against these cabs.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of stopped, and the men used to sleep in there, come up from Asheville. And one of them climbed out the cubicle up in there after the engine stuck his nose in the cab, and he was in, and he had on a red underwear suit. He was a conductor on the Asheville division. And it turned over on my side, and the engine there hung on and was laying on the side almost, on that side, but it jumped off on my side and run into this train sideswiped it. And this guy was sleeping in there. It was a track right along. See, as far as he had a Spencer full of cabs, and the men, a lot of them from Asheville, they slept in there. They had a stove in the cabs and the refrigerator, and they cooked in it, kept ice, you know. And that was their home on the roads, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it happened.
And you crawled out the
I crawled out on that side over there. I jumped out on a pile of rail. They were just building the second main line through the yard at that time. And the superintendent's first one got to me. Oh, well, it stowed me up. I hurt my back for a long time.
Any people killed in that accident?
No. We just had a coal train behind us, you see. It wasn't going fast. The coal was this heavy coming down the hill, you see. A carload of coal was something awful heavy. Then a carload of coal would weigh about 60 tons, but now it weighs 280 tons. Cars are bigger and heavier. You'd think a big car of coal, 60 tons was a big car at that time.
Sounds
but
big.
Now that 280 tons goes down here. Yeah. That's the difference in the cars and all. Ball bearing cars now is it is before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the difference.
Any particular models of the trains that you liked riding more than the others?
Well, no, they was all, first engine I ever fired on was engine 124. Mm-hmm. And from that on up to 3800s, 1500s, 1600s, 1800s, 4800s, and 6300s, and 13, 1400s, and passenger service. That engine up there is a passenger engine on the Asheville Division. It was a low wheel type engine, and they used it on account. They had five of them here. They run from here to Asheville. Because it was a low wheel, they could pull more, you see, and made the mountains with it. That same class engine with a 72-inch wheel on it was a fast engine on the main line, but that was a mountain type. That's only about 4 foot driver, I think, on that one. I forget now.
Did you ever make runs to the mountain?
No. I've been up there, but I didn't. We've been up there several times, but I wasn't on that division. That's been a pretty rough division to be on.
Why?
Had a lot of runaways on the mountains, you know.
Just sort of lose control going down the hills?
That's right. They did. They had a spur track, and they blew the man looked after it. And if the engineer was running away, he would blow the whistle a certain blow, and they'd head him back into the mountain on a spur track. There's two or three of them up there yet. They still use them. If the air something happened to it, it'd go out, you see.
Yeah.
And that happened along with the run of train.
So tell me about going to engineering school, to school to become an engineer.
Well, I had to work over there, and you see, and you did this other filling out your form and everything at home. You're supposed to stand the first year after the first year, and then the second year, and the third year, that was it. No, you didn't go to school, you just studied while you were working.
Uh-huh.
Working, you know what to do, what everything was about the engine. A sliding valve, a spool valve, a wall shot valve gear, spool cylinders, and all other things, you know.
They had a test that you'd have to take?
Oh, yeah. It was a superheated engine, a saturated steam. See, saturated steam is not near as powerful as superheated steam because it's reheated, you see, several times degrees hotter. There's no water, nothing you can't see. It coming out, you can see that gets out there and gets condensed, you see. It just comes out of where it's leaking and where it's just blue coming out, you see. Much more powerful, you see. That's all they had at one time, saturated steam, and then they put the superheaters inside of the flues, superheated the dryer steam, you see.
Did you always like it when they made changes like that and got more advanced technology?
They did that. Of course, they did that all the time. They built them in Ballin, Ohio, and Richmond, Virginia, different places. This was colored people built good engines in Ohio. You know, they owned the engine business. That Lima Locomotive Works in Ohio. They made an awful good engine. 1800 was a very good engine. Steam good, too.
What was the best part about working for the railroad?
Well, I don't know. It's always something thrill. Might be a good day and a bad day. You're always anxious to go. You never know what it would be. It's just like any other exciting day or rainy day and a cloudy day. It might be a good day. It might be a bad day. You might have good coal and a good engine and a good crew and be just fine. The next day would be altogether different. You never know. Just like you going around doing this kind of work. It's all that you might enjoy, it's all that you might not.
Would you have to stay away from home a lot?
Well, sometimes if it sends you out of town to work, you know, like go to Danville and things like that. Or if somebody got hurt or sick or something was awful, they'd call you over here and tell you to go down there in the estate and they got somebody to relieve you and send you back or to Winston or something like that.
That's true.
Telling about when Roosevelt went by.
Oh, yeah, well, when President Roosevelt's corpse came by here, I was on the engine setting up in the yard. And the trains all had to stop, everything moving. When the train come by, they made everything else stop till this train got by you. I sat there and cried when the president went by. Train went by just as slow and had a lot of guests, you know, and several cars. But his body was going from Warm Springs, Georgia to New York, or to Washington, where they buried him. Yeah. But I thought a lot of him, you know. He's a lifesaver during the Depression before, you know, because people, he didn't have no income before, like they do now, you see.